Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This time I'd also like to memorialize into the record. Over 2.5 years ago, I was asked, is the 401A local plan legal? I was here at the meeting, I responded, it is illegal. My counsel reported it is illegal. On April 3rd, Judge Stone entered into an order of which I will read the ruling.
So you're in the regular meeting for the Board of County Commissioners last night, and the clerk comptroller, Pam Childers, who we will talk to at 7:35 this morning, by the way, she says, gentlemen, you lost, and I think that you need to give back this money, and I'm going to actually read you the result of the, in case anybody's unclear, what the judge said about this retirement plan, 401A, ICMA, local plan. It gets called a bunch of different things if you follow these news stories over the years.
It is not lawful for an elected officer, e.g. county commissioners, to participate in the local plan. The county's contributions to the local plan on behalf of the county commissioners constitute unlawful compensation. The clerk properly exercised discretion in ceasing to make payments to the local plan. Therefore, it is ordered and adjudged that the county's request for a peremptory writ of mandamus and other relief are denied.
So, just reading for clarity's sake what the judge said, and then she follows up with, okay, so now that that's been decided,
I am formally and publicly requesting that the repayment of the funds back into the county's treasury. I would hope that we could work cooperatively on this and jointly communicate with FRS. It is not in the best interest of Escambia County as a whole to further pursue this dispute with the District Court of Appeals. I just want that in the record. This was a long and costly and unnecessary litigation.
So, correct, right? And she's saying the money you did get, you need to get that back. And please don't appeal this because it'll just cost us all more time and money and you'll lose again. You know, the judge is kind of interesting. There was one line in the judge's decision about this that I didn't share, but it's pretty definitive. Right before the ruling, the judge writes, to construe the statutes at issue in this case to find that the local plan, as applies to county commissioners, is lawful would constitute an absurd result. He literally said their claim that they could be eligible for this plan is absurd. I mean, I made the joke yesterday. I said, you lose, sir. Good day. You know, and people are like, oh, that's funny. No, but that's right. That's what the judge said. And so she's saying, all right, now you got to pay that back. And also don't appeal. So, you know, do I expect that result? No. No, I don't expect that result. But sort of would be the appropriate result. Now, the follow-up to that was something just kind of, I don't fully understand this. I'm going to ask her about it when we get her on later, but...
In a change of subject, I am requesting return to access to OpenGov for my disbursement staff. Their access was turned off immediately following a dialogue between my internal auditor and a member of the county.
What?
On a procurement matter, and that was the result by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This action is costing my staff time, and it inhibits our ability to efficiently audit and timely process payments. In the name of transparency, I would appreciate your cooperation for access to systems. I show the same respect to you. Thank you.
You have an item on the agenda, Madam Clerk.
Oh, that's so terse. Do you have something for us to vote on here, or are you just wasting our time with all this talk? That's what he said. You gotta decode Stephen Barry sometimes a little bit. You know, do you have an agenda item for us, Madam Clerk? Can we move on now that we're done listening to your soliloquy about how you beat us in court and made us look stupid and greedy? And can we just move on? And, you know, as for your request? Well, at least Mike Kohler said he'd look at it.
So, Board, I'd entertain a motion for the clerk's report.
Move the clerk's report.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none?
Well, I do want to say one thing. And this is
sometimes you're the nail and sometimes you're the hammer. And this week, the board's kind of been the nail.
Four times.
And I do would like to make, I'd like to see the board work with the clerk. I really would. The clerk, I've told you that publicly. I obviously didn't support that, but I hope we can move on collegially. I don't know why you don't have open gov. It seems like you should. Is there any good reason why, Wes?
Wes Moreno, County Administrator.
That access decision was made of a former department director without any permission or discussion with administration.
So is it something that we could entertain giving back?
Yeah, I mean, if it was made improperly in the first place.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. Yes, it is something we can discuss.
Okay, good. I mean, we'll just do it, it seems like. But anyway, so always drama, always something. I give you your Escambia County Commission. Again, the three key commissioners. It's not an all-in. You know, there's three of them that are really creating all these lawsuits and losing all these lawsuits. So Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh. Traffic on the fives before we get to the transgressors. Jake, go ahead, sir.
All right. Not seeing any major delays on our roadways. No accidents reported by FHP. We did get a report from our traffic tip line saying that at the intersection of Highway 29 and Old Kim Strand Road in Cantonment, there's a wreck right there before that traffic light headed northbound on Highway 29. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, east and west, we're looking good there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace, no problems there. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. We're good on Cervantes, looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W, and 9 Mile is accident-free. If you see anything on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Exciting news! The data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for April Fool's Day fake news stories. Over the last decade, we have observed an alarming growth in the number of organizations and personalities who have adopted the practice of publishing false news stories online on April 1st in an effort to have a little fun and make people laugh. Well, we at the Committee for Self-Righteous Indignation and the Suppression of Mirth are here to remind you that fun and laughs are highly overrated. But something much more serious is involved in this terrible practice of deceiving people for the sake of humor. I must remind you that deceiving people should only be done for the sake of important things like politics, gender, and the Messiah-like prophets and the Messiah-like planet-saving ability of electric vehicles. Since so much of our effort to fundamentally change America requires us to mislead, misinform, and misdirect the American people, for their own good, obviously, because they are too foolish to accept our causes if we were fully honest about them, it is vital that we only use lies for the most important purposes and that we never use lies for trivial reasons, which then remind people they might want to carefully evaluate information and news for themselves for accuracy instead of simply trusting everything they read. Yes, April Fool's stories remind people that they should be skeptical of information, especially if it sounds too good to be true. But of course, we need them to be gullible, particularly when we tell them things that are way too good to be true, such as that we can eliminate racism through reparations, or curb violence by defunding the police, or solve global warming by getting cows to fart less. Now, we admit, it's not nearly as bad when entities like for-profit companies or law enforcement agencies publish these fake stories, since we know they lie all the time, and we don't mind people perceiving them as unreliable. But when governmental entities or, gasp, news organizations do this, it really damages the essential blind trust we demand from our citizens. Also, research indicates that laughter and comedy make people happier and more satisfied with their lives, and since most of our agenda requires misery and dissatisfaction, such wanton humor cannot be tolerated. Thus, away with the dangerous tradition of April Fool's Day fake news. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the new German Football Association jerseys from Adidas featuring the number 44 on the back because they very strongly resemble the SS iconography of the Nazis. Yes, it may seem inconceivable to anyone who hasn't seen the 44 jersey design, but it looks very much like something every member of the Gestapo would have worn on his lapel. Now, it is true that the designs were approved by the Union of European Football Associations, but UEFA was only ever shown the designs for numbers 1 through 26, since very few teams ever have a need for numbers higher than that. They did approve the single-digit 4 jersey, but almost certainly because standing on its own, the solo 4 does not call to mind the dual lightning bolt styling of the Third Reich's Schutzstaffel emblem. And even though the 4s most definitely have a protruding mark that differentiates them from an S, and even though the numbers are oriented upright instead of at an angle as the SS mark was, close is close and that's enough for us. This incident reminds us of the now well-established principle of sonic parallelism, which was the subject of Walensky's definitive treatise on microaggressions through homophone abuse, Volume 6. If otherwise okay words sound too much like canceled words, those words must be canceled simply for hanging around with the wrong word friend, so to speak. In this case, look-alike numbers that reminisce of bygone icons of atrocity should not be allowed to be blithely worn on the backs of young German soccer fans. And just to be safe, we probably ought to ban all use of the number 44 in whatever form, maybe just for a little while, like 10 years, so that graphic designers around the world can properly learn their lesson. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our deepest gratitude for His High and Exalted Excellency, the Archbishop of Equity, in the Seattle Public School System, for continuing to eradicate any vestiges of that most horrible classist, racist, and generally bourgeois tactic of having gifted programs in the schools. Over the past few academic years, the district has been moving away from this educational caste system and toward a structure that it says is more diverse, equitable, and inclusive. Literally all three letters in the second most holy acronym string, DEI. As has been well established, there is a disproportionate participation in gifted programs by non-Asian non-minorities, which means gifted programs are discriminatory against all other historically oppressed groups. In order to remedy past injustices and undo decades of racist education, Seattle is putting all students of all capability levels together in the same classrooms so that none gets a better education than another. This new policy follows similar changes in Virginia, Rhode Island, New York, and California, which have seen great strides toward equality of mediocrity under the new policy aspirationally called No Child Gets Ahead. Now, instead of segregationist policies that sort students into different cohorts by academic potential and proficiency so that every child receives instruction tailored to their particular abilities, all students will be mixed together so that nobody gets exactly what they need, equitably, with diversity and inclusion for all. Amen. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Mountain. As you depart today, please note that we have changed the name of the informational packet from the bulletin to the handout. As Eldris Petunia Mitchell brought to our attention last week, it is very inappropriate for a body of virtue promotion such as ours to use any term for official business that contains the word bullet in it. Many people are triggered by this word of violence, and we want to be agents of peace, calm, and comfort, so please read your handouts fully before you recycle the non-bulletins. Refreshments this week are provided by Shuck and Jive Turkey, the makers of corn paste-based substitute meat for people who love to eat turkey and oysters, but believe in the moral dignity of our air and sea companions. Yes, with the carefully formulated, extruded, pressed, heat-treated, and artificially flavor-injected turkey and oyster-baked compote, you can pretend to still eat the morally forbidden fruit of fowl and shellfish. Shuck and Jive Turkey. You can really taste the disappointment.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
626 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, sarcastic. I'm Andrew McKay, and Jake has got your traffic on the fives.
All right. We are not seeing any major issues on our roadways this morning. This traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are looking good. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no problems there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90, not seeing anything slowing you down there. Highway 29 is clear from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. And no slowdowns on Burgess or Olive. Looks like Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let me know about it. 437-1620. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got a home improvement project or, you know, something broken you got to fix, it's a remodel, it's a renovation, or, you know, somebody threw something through the wall, you know, whatever. You go to Pensacola Hardware, they will take care of you, they will help you figure out how to fix it, they will give you good advice, they will teach you what the right products are, and then, of course, they have them on hand. They won't have to order it because they know what people are going to need and they have it in stock. They've been doing this long enough that you're not going to catch them by surprise. Like, if they don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, seriously, that's the case. And if you build houses for a living, oh, man, you got to go. Like, seriously, go talk to them about what they can do for you. For example, you need to send a guy down to pick something up? No, they'll send it to you. You don't need to give somebody your credit card. They'll put you on a line of credit for, you know, 1 month billing or whatever. Okay? They know what you need. They can even help you solve problems. They know that probably they know the inspectors. They certainly know the code, and they can make sure that you're doing everything right. The point is, a great resource no matter where you are on the spectrum, from total novice to total pro. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, U.S. policy on the war in Gaza will depend on Israel's ability to protect civilians and humanitarian workers. That from President Biden and his conversation with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says the U.S. is expecting Israel to implement concrete steps to protect civilians and allow for more humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip.
I thought the correct pronunciation for that was Netanyahu. I don't know. The Fox News lady kept saying it that way yesterday, and I was dying. Like, okay, go on. Go on, David.
And, well, if you were planning on going to the Final Four basketball games, apparently it'll cost you more to get into the women's Final Four than the men's Final Four this year. The cheapest tickets to get into the women's Final Four games going for about $1,000.
Oh, you want to be there when it happens, and people want to pay to be there. No,
that's
no
right.
Doubt.
And we've got big news, Andrew. Big, big news. Another Adam Sandler co-star confirming that there is indeed a sequel in the works to Happy Gilmore. This is what everybody's been waiting for, right?
Oh. Okay, thanks for that.
It looks like you're tasting the disappointment.
Have
you
I
had
am
some
absolutely
of that,
tasting
that
the disappointment
turkey?
Right now. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. If you've got a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, or the you know, the pressure's not good, the temperature's not good in your home plumbing, Barberry Plumbing, this is what they do. They do it great. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. Oh, I saw a Cybertruck yesterday for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, well, excuse me. I saw the brand new DeLorean SUV for the first time yesterday. Oh, you know, the reason they show you the pictures from the side all the time is because the front on, like looking at the front, very, very, ugly.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Israel has agreed to send more aid deliveries to Gaza just hours after a warning from President Biden. He delivered an ultimatum to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying if Israel doesn't change its humanitarian policies, the U.S. could end its support. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby describing the call on Fox's Your World with Neil Cavuto.
Create a set of conditions where aid organizations feel better about operating inside Gaza.
The call came after an IDF airstrike killed 7 aid workers in Gaza. President Biden said to visit Baltimore today to tour the site of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. And federal judge Eileen Cannon denying former President Trump's motion to dismiss the classified documents case, citing the Presidential Records Act. That trial is scheduled for May 20th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. We do have clear skies. It is 52 degrees in Pensacola. Looks like a beautiful morning right now. You may have seen that big fire response yesterday off of Gulf Beach Highway. Big brush fire reportedly burned at least 50 acres, damaging several homes. One was a total loss. It caused an entire neighborhood evacuation yesterday evening. Multiple agencies were involved in fighting that fire, the FWC, fire departments in Escambia and Baldwin counties, and also helicopters from the Florida Forestry Service.
There's some ponds on nearby private property, but then if you look at it, you know, we're relatively fortunate in our area, even if you had to go all the way to the Intercoastal Waterway.
That's Joe Zierkowski from the Florida Forestry Service. And again, the evacuation and most of the road closures have now been lifted. The latest update from late yesterday evening is that that fire was about 50% contained at that point. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is investigating after a gun was reportedly found in a classroom at C.A. Weiss Elementary School. Channel 3 reports that that gun had apparently been brought to the school by a child with a disability. It was found in a special needs classroom. At this point, no charges have been filed and no additional information has been released. Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler says he's been flooded with resident complaints about traffic along Blue Angel Parkway for Blue Angel practice days. He's got a meeting scheduled for Monday on board NAS Pensacola to see what they can do. One idea he brought up is making practices a ticketed event in order to limit the number of people on base.
The other option I threw out, I don't know if this is plausible, but why not do an air show one day a week at the beach and bring in more tourism dollars? It'd be a little bit more costly, but it would relieve some of the traffic. But when I brought that up, I don't think the base wants that because the museum and MWR make some money.
Kohler says, in addition to Blue Angel being a two-lane road, guards posted at the back gate have to check each car. They can't just wave people through. Well, the biggest electric company in the state says they want to go green. Florida Power and Light have now submitted a proposal to state regulators yesterday. They're asking for approval to build some new solar energy facilities. The utility believes that it had met requirements for the more than $100 million project, and the operations would go up in 11 counties. The closest one to here would be in Walton County. FPL says they plan on filing in September for a base rate increase to cover the cost in that plan. And, down in South Florida, the Miami Seaquarium taking some steps to try to avoid being shut down. The Dolphin Company released a letter yesterday that it sent to Miami-Dade's mayor, Daniela Levine-Cava, and she had threatened last month to close down that facility due to what she called a troubling history of violations. The Seaquarium says they've taken corrective actions to ensure that they are in full compliance with their lease. All of those actions include urgent repairs and regular checkups on animals and increased staff training and safety improvements as well. It's 6:35 right now at News Radio 92.3. Time to get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing out there right now?
All right, not seeing any major slowdowns to report to you this morning. We did have an accident earlier reported on our traffic tip line. That would have been at Old Kimstrand Road and Highway 29 in the northbound lane right before that red light. Not seeing any slowdown from that, though, but if you are headed up in that area in Cantonment, Just be aware at that intersection, we do have an accident moved off to the side. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre looks clear. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace, no problems there. And no slowdowns on Cervantes. We're good on Burgess and Olive. And we're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. If you see anything on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a beautiful sunny day in store for today. Temperatures warming up near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. For Saturday, plenty of sunshine with just a few passing clouds, high near 74. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Rounding out the weekend with some beautiful weather, high near 73, mostly sunny skies. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 52 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, 47 in Milton. Your next news at 7. And breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NIO has been expanding its battery swap partnerships. The Chinese car company has partnered with at least four other Chinese automakers in the last 6 months with hopes of alleviating consumers' anxiety about electric vehicles' driving range. While having a large network of battery charging stations helps to address those concerns, battery swapping is a faster method that uses technology to automatically exchange depleted batteries for pre-charged ones in a matter of minutes. A car loses value as soon as you drive it off the lot, but electric vehicles are taking this to a new level. A recent study shows the average value of an EV fell nearly 32% in the past year. Meanwhile, the average price for a combustion engine vehicle fell less than 4%. Futures are slightly higher. Reminder that the jobs report is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time this morning. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials were down 5:30. That's your money now.
Attention business owners. Stop throwing your hard-earned money away on rent. Imagine owning your own building and saving thousands every year. Sound impossible? Not if you use General Steel. General Steel can help you save thousands by owning your own custom-designed building. Call 877-92-STEEL. That's 877-92-STEEL. To see how much money you can save with General Steel. Our buildings come with a 50-year warranty, and thousands of companies from Fortune 500 corporations to startups have trusted the General with their building needs.
If you need to expand or start a new business, you really need General Steel.
I'm very impressed with General Steel. Everyone's been extremely helpful. I'd recommend General Steel to anyone looking to build a steel building.
Call 877-92-STEEL to find out how quickly your business can move into one of our quick construction kits, like a 50 by 100 perfect for the small business owner, or a 200 by 450 favorite of the Fortune 500. Just call 877-92-STEEL. That's 877-92-STEEL.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you.
that I wish you saw. Sarcastic Mr. Know-it-all. I'll close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cause with the birds I'll share. With the birds I'll share, it's a lonely view.
The other option I threw out, I don't know if this is plausible, but why not do an air show one day a week at the beach and bring in more tourism dollars? It'd be a little bit more costly, but it would relieve some of the traffic. But when I brought that up, I don't think the base wants that, because the museum and MWR make some money
right
off the air show for the seating and stuff.
So that was Commissioner Mike Kohler yesterday. We were talking to him yesterday morning about the traffic issues surrounding the Blue Angels practices at the base. And I have since then had a good conversation with Sterling Gillum from the museum and also with Tim Kinsella, the former base commander. You might know him as Lucky. They were in here doing Navy Day's promotion yesterday with Jake, and I was talking to them beforehand. We're actually going to have Lucky on Monday at 7:35 to talk about this, some of this stuff, and I have a very different perspective on all this. I know I'm not open to this idea. I don't think this is a good idea. The short version is that the Blue Angels conduct training on the base. That's a training mission, and telling them that they need to redo their training mission with no center point, out on the beach, just randomly on a Thursday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday. I guess it'd be Tuesday or Wednesday. That's no. And even the Brunson Field thing, which sort of caught my attention for the moment. I was thinking about that. That's also no. no, definitely not. But this came up yesterday in the county commission meeting as well in the agenda review. I guess Jeff Bergosh was listening to the show yesterday morning, and he wanted to make some comments about, you know, kind of responding to Mike Kohler's comments.
Mike, since we're here, if I might, Mr. Chairman, since we're talking about traffic, because traffic is the number one problem. It really is. We're a growing community. We've got various events. Traffic backs up. I know you had an issue in District 2. It bleeds over into District 1 on the west side. But with respect to the Blue Angels, I mean, we have to be very, very careful. As you know, I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that mission. And with the Department of Defense contributing 52% to our economy, we have to be careful. But I think there are ways to manage that traffic, which will improve the traffic flow through District 1 and 2.
Yeah, and no, and I actually agree with that assessment. The question of the traffic flow, though, what's he got in mind?
I understand there's a meeting on Monday. If obviously, I can't come if you're going to be there, and you're going to be there, and I'm not invited. But I will give my 2 cents worth here. The traffic going to those shows should be pulled onto the base. There's a long... Radford's a long, long road into the museum parking lot, and you can do the vetting there. It gets those people off of our roadways. The pinch point is that back gate.
Can I say what I think the military would say? Okay, I think their first comment would be, can all of you idea geniuses just simmer down? can all of y'all just stop with the great ideas to tell us how to do our job? And can you also stop suggesting things that are contrary to our basic mission? You know, I mean, because I get the idea he's saying, and it's the kind of thing even I might have potentially said is, you know, well, can't they just use that long road and then the museum parking lot or something? And no, I mean, that's just another version of the enclave. And the whole point is you got to check them at the gate. That's how you protect the interior. You know, the base has done their job. The base has made access available. They're letting people in. And now the question is, what can we do outside the gate to facilitate that anyway?
They should also, I mean, I know it's a tough sell, and I know the captain has a lot of responsibilities and security issues, but the front gate access should be restored, and that will take the pressure off.
What? What? Oh, my God. This is never going to happen. And it's not feasible from a security point of view. And what? What did I just say the Navy people would say? Can all you idea geniuses just simmer down? You want to reopen the... Come on now.
Gulf Beach Highway, Sorrento Road, Perdita Key Drive. But if there's a way to perhaps just do a cursory ID as you go through that back gate, it's segregated all the way down Radford. They've got parking, you know, they've just got it segregated, so you wouldn't be able to pull off. And I think that's a long road that would hold a lot of cars, and then you put the pinch point at the museum parking lot, and then they can do the final vetting. If that's something that you could broach with them, I think that's the solution.
You know, one of the things I actually like about Jeff Bergosh is he's always coming up with ideas. And I, generally speaking, that's good. The challenge is I do that same thing, okay? That's a mark of creativity, to his credit. The problem is sometimes you come up with an idea, and because it's your idea, you think it's a good idea because it's your idea. And I know this, too. I'm guilty. No, it reminds me of the old Dr. Seuss book, If I Ran the Zoo. Well, if I ran the base, sir, no, not good.
Anything else like moving the practice sites, I certainly would not support, Mike. I don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that mission. The Blue Angels are too important to our community.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
Commissioner Burgess is right. We don't want to do anything to compromise the Blue Angels or the, you know, the museum that we got to back open. But there's multiple options here. That's one. There's options. I actually think the front gate, I don't believe that when they the base CO got the approval to do the west gate, that was in the best interest.
Oh, interesting. All right. But then, you know, Commissioner Burgess is still kind of fixating on this. And also, by the way, making the point that next week, as they're traveling to D.C. to lobby the federal government over issues like the hangar, you all of a sudden have a problem because the community's acting through the news like this is a big problem. And we're trying to ask him for money to put a hangar in for the Blue Angels. He's correct. This sends a very mixed message and doesn't put our best foot forward for always as a community supporting the Navy base.
But the problem is next week we have defense communities in D.C. We're up there lobbying for $50 million for a hangar on the base.
Yep.
At the same time, if residents are calling saying, I heard, you know, I was inconvenienced by traffic from the jets. I mean, it's just the cognitive dissonance that we don't need. We're trying to protect those missions. We're trying to advocate for millions of dollars. That's why I'm going to D.C. next week.
Yep.
$50 million for that base to help build a hangar for the Blue Angels.
Yeah.
People are calling and, you know, we've got to be intelligent about it.
Which, again, I agree with all of that. We'll come back to this in a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways. No issues to report. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no issues there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace, no issues there as well. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox all checking in clear. Davis Highway is clear through the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brenton, Fairfield, and we're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line. That's 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Summit Racing Equipment. Shop summitracing.com to keep your truck rolling right. Use promo code RADIO for $10 off an order of $100 or more. Exclusions apply. Offer ends April 14th. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to this conversation being held in the County Commission agenda review session yesterday about base access, the Blue Angels, the museum, and all of that. And like I said, I mean, there are parts of what Jeff Burgess is saying I completely agree with. I think he's right to say we shouldn't be talking about all these problems and proposing crazy wingnut solutions when we're going to the Navy basically and saying, hey, give us money, to renovate the hangar. But then he can't stop talking about the crazy wingnut idea that he thinks is the right crazy wingnut idea.
We don't want to talk about moving practices. We want to keep them right there. There's more intelligent ways to use the space that's there on that base. And I would simply say there was a mini enclave project for many years. I watched them build it. They have separate checkpoints on Radford coming through and on Taylor. There's ways to do it and bring that bottleneck from that back gate to the gigantic museum parking lot and get those cars off of our roads. I mean, if they want to make all the money for MWR out there, then they got to help us with that. And I think that's a solution that you could bring Monday.
And please stop helping. Jen, he had the right point. We need to stop making it seem like the Navy's defective and instead talk about how we support the base and then, you know, let's go and beg for our $50 million for the hangar because we want to make sure to keep the Blues here. And that's all right. Now, Mike Kohler, for his part, talked about, you know, limiting base access by number. I don't think that's on the right track because it's not historically high numbers. It's only like 4,000 people that are causing all this problem. And we've had as many as 6,000 a day on a Blues practice before. So volume isn't the issue per se. It might be personnel checking at the perimeter. That might be the issue. It might be traffic enforcement outside the perimeter, making sure people keep the intersections clear. Those are all relevant things. But then this went in a completely different direction. Like all of a sudden, I thought, okay, we're done with the silly, weird ideas and the creativity, which again, I'm guilty of. I know I tend to think that way too. It's just, you know, sometimes maybe don't help so much. All of a sudden, Lumen May jumps in with...
Mike, I mean, here's the reality. I mean, and you represent those citizens that live there. But let me just tell you, we can't promote the naval base as one of our number one tourist attractions. And let me tell you, this board has been very generous. I know since Commissioner Barry and I have been on this board to the Flight Academy, mm-hmm. the Naval Museum.
Right.
You can't make it inconvenient and continually to say that you want tourists to come and inconvenient citizens.
Yeah, what? It's inconvenient to go on the base, and that's what?
My aide and I went out to a birthday party at the Officers Club, you know, for a 100th year birthday party. It's inconvenient to get on.
it's just very inconvenient to get on. And so if we live our life in fear, I mean, because of what happened, I mean, we'll always be that. That'll be inconvenient. I'm not going to live my life in fear no matter what happens.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I don't live in fear. And so the reality of it is we need to work that out.
Yeah, but Navy policy for force protection to keep security on. Look, I remember, you remember the days when we could all just drive on the base real easy and it was just like a neighborhood? It was like going to the country club. It was just very easy. We miss that. We cherish that. We love that. We're never getting that back. Okay? That's never coming back. I get it's inconvenient, but, you know, the base is not there for me, even though there's a lot of minis on the base for me and for you. But this, like, weird trade where they're talking about all the millions of dollars they've given to the base and therefore it ought to be more convenient to get on.
We're giving. I mean, we've given millions of dollars for tourist dollars for the Flight Academy and for the Naval Museum. So we've given our part. So we have been active partners. And unfortunately, you're having that issue of traffic. But I tell you, people that I represent, we can't get on the base.
Okay. And he makes the point that he's talked to other friends around the state and other bases are easier to get on. And even Mike Kohler admitted that that's true.
You're absolutely correct. When I was down in Key West for the commissioning of the Higbee, I talked to Secretary Del Toro about this. And you know, you're absolutely right. I ran a half marathon in San Antonio, and we ran right through the base. And as you got on the base and the airport, the general said, thank you for coming. Come to the museum at Fort Sam Houston. And then it is complicated, but I will not throw Captain Village under the bus because I know this is way higher than him for the security.
That's true. And by the way, if that's an Army base, Army and Air Force and Navy all have very different, you know, ways they do this stuff, right? But then, like I said, just things kept getting weirder and weirder about this conversation about what should be changed.
You're correct. The according to Darren over at Visit Pensacola, the museum's the second highest visit site in Escambia County.
We spend millions of dollars promoting the base.
Yeah, I know.
You're taking millions of tax dollars to promote something that it's inconvenient for people to access. That's inconsistent. And I mean, I don't know how you can be supportive. I mean, it needs to be accessible. And now, safety first, I agree with you. But we need to work that out. I mean, as Jeff said, be innovative. I mean, you know, someone that's sitting at the Pentagon doesn't understand that you can move a pinch point past the Naval Museum that they won't even get into the high security areas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And here in the background, Jeff Bergosh saying that's right. Again, that's the push them all to the Navy base. Somebody just texted in a great summary of this says, are you kidding, Jeff? Bring in, let all those cars come on, and one of them has something in them that they shouldn't have, and then you've got them in the parking lot at the museum trying to handle a chaotic situation where a problem has been created. You're checking them for the final check through? No. Negative, Ghost Rider. And then, anyway, last comments on this, just because there was one phrase in here that I thought was particularly unusual.
There's opportunities, I mean, because people want to. I mean, I think that people should enjoy their naval base that live here. But people that live here don't even want to go there because it's so inconvenient.
No, when I drive through the front gate, and I live right by there, it's 20 minutes.
Wow.
And you're like, it is inconvenient. But I've just grown to accept that because it's just, you know, part of the mission sometimes.
People should be able to enjoy their base? Look, I tend to think of it as my base. You tend to think of it as your base. And for many, many, many years, it kind of was our base that we could always go to. But what?
There's opportunities. I mean, because people want to. I mean, I think that people should enjoy their naval base.
It's not our naval base. It is the Navy's naval base. And to the degree that we can get on there to do the stuff we want to do, wonderful. But again, we're always, what's number one? Personnel, safety, training mission, accomplish that. Number two, what can we do to make sure that we keep the mission and all of the economic impact that it has here in this area and not jeopardize this by, I don't know, running weird ideas up the flagpole and seeing who salutes them, you know? And as, again, the folks are going to go to D.C. to lobby for the new hangar or the hangar rebuild and all of that. I hope nobody in the Pentagon watches this meeting. That's what I've got to hope. You know? So, shh. Just, shh. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right. Not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways to report this morning. Looks like Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Seeing our normal morning slowdown once you get through Windhaven Beach, but not really bad this time of morning. Looking westbound on 98 through Gulf Breeze, no problems there. I'm seeing a little bit of slowdown getting toward NAS on the West Gate. Looks like Blue Angel is backed up quite a little bit there past Gulf Beach Highway. Other than that, around town, we're looking great. Highway 29 is clear from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is clear. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all looking good. If you see anything else out there on the roadways slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by New South Windows Solutions. This Saturday only, shop New South sale event from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Receive 40% off windows and doors. Bring in your measurements before noon for an additional 5% off. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is that?
Hmm?
On your ear. Is that a hair gel?
One of the most horrible, hilarious scenes in all of movies. 6:58 on News Radio 9, and there are worse ones in that movie, by the way. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, if you need a reminder about how nice it is living here in Florida, a nor'easter has left hundreds of thousands without power and over a foot of snow on the ground in New England. The National Weather Service there says the heaviest snow has ended, but they're expecting several more inches later this morning. The Army Corps of Engineers out with a tentative timeline for restoring navigation in and out of the Port of Baltimore after the bridge collapse. Engineers are planning to reopen a 700-foot wide, 50-foot deep federal navigation channel by the end of May. And a snail species thought to have gone extinct has been found alive and well in Mississippi. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says scientists have discovered a living population of the big black rock snail in a hard-to-get-to part of the Big Black River in the central part of Mississippi. They thought it went extinct back in 1989, but they found it at this remote site. They think it's been there for thousands of years.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I've got a couple of texts in here. One says, well, by their reasoning, by Jeff Bergosh's reasoning, maybe they should do security checking at the Board of County Commissioners meeting inside the auditorium when people are seated.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.